Tell the person next to you, we're going to talk about Jesus opening blind eyes. Let's go ahead, tell them. Would you ask somebody this question? Would you like to see through the eyes of Jesus? Would you like to see through the eyes of Jesus? We're going to take a moment and blend these two ideas together. So let's go ahead and I'm going to declare to you Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. Jesus said this in the synagogue in Nazareth. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. And everybody say, recovering of sight to the blind. Say it again. Recovery of sight to the blind and to set liberty. Those are oppressed. So we have what we have in the ministry of Jesus is his opening physical eyes, but when he's teaching, he talks more about spiritual eyesight. Physical, spiritual. How many of you have had the Lord open your eyes? Right before we go on, let's just lift our heads. Father God, I thank you that you give us now, open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding. I'm praying, Lord, that there would be a Holy Spirit impartation and instruction into our hearts today. And also, Lord, what you do, I pray every person in here that needs their eyes to be opened to who you are at this time in their life, that you would give them that gift of new sight to see you. No matter where oppression has ruled, I pray you open their eyes to see you and see life through your eyes. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew 6:22 says, the eye of the lamp is the lamp of the body. And so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is your darkness? In essence, Jesus is basically saying everyone sees through the lens of who they are. How about that? Everyone sees through the lens. It's kind of like saying you don't really see life as life is. You see life as you are. And John 1:4 says, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. So you and I, coming to know Jesus, receive that light. But the fact of the matter is, and I remember being, everybody said, everybody's born spiritually blind. Everybody. And so what are we blind to? What are we blind to? We're born blind to God's eternal love for us. You didn't come out of the womb with that in you. We're born blind to God's individual destiny for our lives. We're born blind to the depth of the riches of his grace that empower us to live a life in a way that glorifies him and fulfills us. And we're blind to the reality that God loves everyone without partiality. Don't you wish that was the reigning revelation of the land today? We're born blind to the reality that God looks upon the heart and not the flesh. If we think what God thinks like we do, we're wrong. We're born blind to the reality that Jesus can restore us into a relationship with Father God. And Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to bridge the gap for relationship with Father God. We're born blind to the reality of our own fears and pride, aren't we? How about, were you pretty much blind to the level of selfishness you really had before meeting Jesus? We're born blind. We're born blind thinking we have to earn God's favor by some kind of performance. Everybody comes that way. Well, what do I got to do to get him to have favor in my life? We're born blind to the reality that we cannot earn salvation in Christ. And we're born blind to the generosity of God's heart of love and the gift of grace. We're born blind. Years ago, the Lord taught me a lesson. I was in the car and I looked to the left and I didn't see a car coming. I was in my car and I was actually going to turn left. So I looked to the left and I didn't see a car. I looked to the right. I didn't see a car. So I started to drive out. And I started to drive out and I looked to the left and there was a car right there. Have you ever heard of a blind spot? The idea of a blind spot. Apparently there's a little place in your eye that when you look, something can be there but you don't see it. And in that very moment, the Lord whispered to me. And he gave me a lesson about blindness. And he said these words. And it didn't have anything to do with looking except for the blind spot. And he said this to me. Wounding creates blindness. Wounding creates blindness. And it went in. So, how is that so? Let's say this. This is how it works. Let's say a certain man hurts a woman. Now, this woman does not trust any man at all, even though there are many men who are trustworthy. Because of the wounding of her heart by one man, she's blind to the good in other men. Are we here? Wounding creates blindness. Let's say you're hurt by a person with a different skin color. The wounding in your heart from that one person can now cause you to be blind to the goodness of all others with that skin color. Let's say you're hurt by a person who is an authority in some place in the culture. The wounding in your heart by that one person can cause you to be blind to the reality that there are some good people who are in authority serving in the way that God intended. Wounding creates blindness. And this is the reason that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, because we don't see correctly. In fact, this is amazing, amazing reality for us today. Everybody say, in Christ. Let's say, in Christ. Now watch, this is looking through Jesus' eyes at what happens. By the way, in the book of Revelation, it says every tribe and nation and tongue, everybody is before the Lord worshiping him, right? Look at this. Galatians 3, 27 through 29 says, As for as many of you as were baptized, everybody say, into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. Now, this would make the Jews freak out. But Paul is going, he came from the Jewish background, because there is neither, in Christ, there's neither, in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you're Christ, then you're Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. John and Glenn and Jeremy and I were at a Telias Man conference with Larry Titus, and the opening night, Kenan Meredith spoke. And he spoke on the answer to racism. He's a black man. He's got a gift of leadership that's off the charts, big heart of love, and he oversees a car manufacturing plant in Detroit. And the Lord spoke to him, because all of these white people work in the plant. And the Lord said, they're broken. Start a church and be their pastor. And he did. He's a father in the faith now to all these people in that community who are broken. And they're white. It's phenomenal. Another person like that would be Joseph Garlington in Pittsburgh. Phenomenon. T.D. Jakes. Phenomenon. Men of God, filled with the Spirit of God. It doesn't matter the color at all. Not in Christ. So Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. And that's the reason. So here's one. I think I put this one here. What's this? If you can find this, what creates wounding? Here you go. What creates wounding? Here's the simplest way I can come up with. Ready? The simplest answer I can think of. Your heart is made for love. Let that sink in. Your heart is made for love. When your heart receives something other than love, the potential for wounding is great. Your heart is created by God for love. You can look in your life and everything that's gone off track, gone off rails, wounding, creating blindness, is based on that love was not delivered and you got something else. And your heart became vulnerable to a wound which creates a blindness. I'm in the pocket, guys. The Holy Spirit is here. And he comes to hover over your heart and bring the love of God and bring order out of the chaos of your soul. Adam knew the love of God. He had pure fellowship with him. But then he, out of free will, this is the most incredible thing. Out of free will, he chose not. And people, this is the other thing. People blame God for somebody else's free will. I can't talk about that enough. You have to be a robot. You know, if there's, I don't want to get into the subject, but here's the point. You have to have allowance for people to have free will. And God gave us free will to choose him or not to choose him. It's just the way it is. And in our selfishness, God goes, how's that working out? It's not working out, is it? No. You know, all of your failures I put on Jesus. Did you know that? I've broken the power from them to rule you. If you submit to him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to pour my love into you and change the motivation of your heart and give you a new affection for God, and your eyes will be opened, and I'll heal the woundings long through your life, and you'll be able to see through my eyes. So he opens our eyes. Now, there was this guy, and he was born blind. And John, we just saw the video with the kids. He was born blind. I don't know if it meant he didn't have any eyeballs in his sockets or just that he was blind from birth, but he was blind. He knew nothing but darkness, and he's a perfect picture in the spirit realm for us. We were born in darkness. We didn't know anything about God, and he's a perfect picture. And they asked the question, you say, okay, why is he blind? Whose fault is it? Is it his sin or his parents' sin? And Jesus said, it's not his sin. It's not his parents' sin. It's that the works of God may be displayed. So here's the lesson. Number one, the place of your greatest blindness and wounding is the very place that the greatest work of God is to be displayed in your life. It is the place where God wants to manifest his greatest display of work of who he is. And then when this guy's eyes opened up, people didn't know who he was. Because is that that guy that was blind? I mean, this guy's seeing. It can be him. He goes, it's me. It's just all this confusion. No, it's a guy that looks like him, but it's really not him. The change was so radical. Here's point number two. People notice the change God makes in your life. It just couldn't be Joan, because I know Joan. She spits and cusses. But this lady looks like Joan. I'm just making this up because I know you'll. So it ain't Joan because she's changed so much. Maybe it's a look. Maybe it's a doppelganger. Maybe it's somebody that looks like her. But it's not really her. Jesus makes a change. It's so Chad. It was fun that, you know, I'm not going to repeat it. I'm just definitely not going to repeat it. And then there's these arguments. Oh, my God, these arguments with the Pharisees, arguments. And it was not until his eyes, listen to this, it was not until this man's eyes were opened that he became aware of the actual warfare against Jesus Christ. Even his testimony, what Jesus did for him, was offensive. This is one of the most comical stories in the Bible, because you got a guy, he goes to the Pharisees, they grill him. Well, there's this man came and he rubbed mud in my eyes and went down to the pool of Siloam and washed it out, and I could see. And it says, and they get so mad because he did it on the Sabbath, and they have a brain explosion. He couldn't be God, and you're a sinner trying to tell. So then he says, explain it to us again. He goes, why? Do you want to be his disciples? Oh, man, God, his parents wouldn't talk about it because they knew that they would kick him out of the synagogue and they couldn't be a part of the family of God there. So when, ask him. So it's just one of these, finally Jesus shows up. But here's the point number three. It is not until our spiritual eyes are opened that we become fully aware of the actual warfare against Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? Come on, is anybody in here? I didn't know this, but when I became a pastor, I was suddenly aware that all of his enemies became mine. I was like, this is not fair. One of my weaknesses in the past was I needed people to like me. I think God cauterized that pretty good. I like it if they like me, but I'm not dependent on it. Because to be with Christ and to do things in this world, I'm not going to bow to someone whose values are anti-Christ, thinking I have to have them like me. I'd rather have God's favor than the favor of man. How are you doing on that? Because sometimes you're going to have all kinds of backlash. So there's a warfare. So later we see that Jesus points out in the very end of this conversation when he sees that he's cast out and he goes and finds the fellow, and it's in John 9:35, and he says to him, which we saw, he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He says, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe?" And Jesus said, "You've seen him. It's I who's speaking to you." And he says, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped. And then Jesus said these words, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." There are people that are so religious, they can't see. They hold the law and obedience to the law, trying to work favor to God. They're blind leading the blind. But then there's people that, I said, well, here's the point. What do those who begin to see actually see? Are you ready? Let me tell you what you start to see, and you'll resonate with this. You start to see who Jesus truly is. You see, he's the comforter. You receive comfort. He's the Lord. He does things. He's your protector and provider. He's the redeemer, the restorer, the reconciler. He builds you. He's the blesser of your life. He changes things. He causes things to work that wouldn't work before. He reconciles relationships. You see who he is. He steps in. There are things that he does and brings. He's the steward of the destiny over your whole life. He's the connector of divine relationships. He puts you together with people. Isn't that true? He's the lover of your soul. When you're around people that love the Lord, you have this. He opens your eyes to see who he truly is. Now, years and years ago, in Genesis 16, Abraham and Sarah were waiting for the promise to have a baby that was promised to them. But Sarah became impatient. And so she turned to Abraham and said, "I have this maidservant here. Maybe you could go into her and we could have a baby, the baby through her." And so Abraham does, and there's a baby born. And then Hagar looks kind of funny, like, at Sarah. And Sarah is really ticked, and she gets infuriated and deals with Hagar harshly and drives her out into the wilderness, and she's gone. This is through no fault of her own. She was invited into a dysfunctional relationship. And there are many people that through no fault of their own end up in a state of rejection, being run out of a house, whatever the circumstances are. Hagar is now in a desert place, all alone, with a baby. What am I going to do? She's not in Jewish lineage. She's not in the royal family line, so to speak. She's a Gentile. She's an outsider. She's got no credit in that regard. You and I don't have any credit in that regard. What happens? An angel shows up. "Hagar, servant of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm fleeing from my mistress Sarai." "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord said, "And I will surely multiply your offspring that they cannot be numbered or multitude." She had not had the baby yet. She was run into the desert. "So you shall call his name Ishmael." I think I have this up. "So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her." Say this with me. "You are a God who sees me. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me." I see the God who sees me. One of the most precious revelations about God in all the heartache and wounding of every individual on the planet. He is the God who sees me. And he has a destiny to multiply the good of his purpose in each individual. God sees the pain in your heart. God sees the mistreatment that causes you to be blind to his goodness. So just why is it that Jesus came, why is it that Jesus can actually bring sight to the spiritually blind? Why is this? Because we always think, yeah, he can do it. Let me just go ahead and tell you. Everybody look. There was one moment. I don't know if it was like 3 minutes, but there was a powerful moment where Jesus went spiritually blind on the cross. In the depth of loneliness and feeling of lostness flooded his soul. And he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in the middle of that moment, there was one thing that he said by faith. He didn't say, God, God. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? So it doesn't matter the depth of how you may feel abandoned or spiritually blind through wounding. What Jesus has is an ability to step into the depth of your pain and relate to how lost you feel and how blind you are, and understands the depth of wounding inside of your heart. And when you see him and you know who he is, you begin to see who you are to him. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm praying for over each heart that there would come now a flow of your love, a flow of your grace, a flow of your touch, that every place where the heart has been blinded to your love, where the heart has been blinded, where people in this room have felt forsaken, have felt bruised, have felt damaged, have felt confused, even over the last, what's going on in the culture. As we prayed just a few minutes ago, that the Holy Spirit would begin to hover over our culture. We're asking for every wounded heart, every loss, everything that has gone wrong. It's called it blindness, called prejudice, called all these kind of things to rise up inside of people and take on offenses. We know, Jesus, that it's only in you that the healing will come, the healing will happen, the healing will flow from heaven into the earth. Let's praise him right now. Just a spirit of praise. We're magnifying Jesus now. We're magnifying Jesus now. We're lifting Jesus up. There's some of you right now, you just feel the tenderness of the Lord coming upon your heart. Just open to it. The Lord is saying, I'm here in the midst of all the confusion of the culture, and I'm here for you. And understand, the Lord says, I'm going to put a resource in you, a deposit in your heart of the fullness of my love. I'm going to heal what causes you not to see, but I'm going to cause you to see through my eyes. You're going to see that I'm the God who sees you. You're going to see that I'm the one who understands what you're going through. You're going to see me in a new way, in a deep way. Let's praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. For you, the Lord, that have seen and looks after me. Man, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let something of love bubble up inside of you. Let's go ahead and thank him, because he wants you to be in the same way that those hurts have sought to define you. The Lord said, let my healing define you now. Let my transformation of your life define you. Let the things that I'm doing in you become your new identity in me. Let there come. There's a deep personal personal, powerful love for you that's not for everybody else. He loves every person individually, not just everybody corporately. He loves you individually. There is something very treasured about who you are to him that's not the way he would love someone else, that he loves you. The Lord wants to come and lift up the hands that hang down. He wants to lift up the chin that's down and break depression and oppression and cause you to see his love for you. He wants you to see him in a deeper way that will cause your heart to be lifted up, lightened up, and receiving. When I get in the middle of this, guys, with you, and I know Jesus wants to do things in hearts, I just seek the Lord. And the Lord is, there's some of you that you haven't felt like the treasure that you are to the Lord. The Lord says, I want you to sense how precious you are to me. I want you to sense that. I want you to know how valuable you are. And when you sit down, and when you get all the junk of the world out and just sit down and be quiet with him by yourself, I believe the Lord is depositing something. If it's the very idea that the Lord's saying, I'm going to open your eyes for this new season and I'm going to carry you into places and you're going to see me and become something that you couldn't be, but I'm going to cause you to see, step into those things, that's going to happen. It just happened for somebody I know. The Lord is opening up because this is a time in our culture where there's desperate, desperate need. And the people of the Lord who know him can help others see is what this is all about. So, Father, we just lift our hearts to you. I thank you for every person here. Lord, I claim the salvation. I claim the ongoing sanctification. I claim the work of the Holy Spirit and more ongoing revelation in the heart of our people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and stand together. Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands up. Thank you, Lord. Just give him a hug. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your sweet love in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. If you'd be patient while our ushers dismiss you by rows, don't forget you can put your offering in a basket as you're leaving. It's been a wonderful morning together. Very soon we're going to be able to fellowship and hang out together, but you can do that outside and where the weather is still nice.